From walking barefoot in the snow to hiking for miles for a view, it feels good to connect with our simpler side. Simplifying your wellness with Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake feels good too. With 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and more. No fillers, no nonsense, just the highest quality ingredients. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st when they go to Ka'Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code NEWS.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the NYG Blue Zone. It's your boy Atticus coming at you with the rapid recap of today's game between the Washington Commanders and the New York Giants. Tough loss, man. Here was a game where the Giants were favored to win only by 2.5 points, which means it was a toss-up anyway. But you just had that feeling from the start of the game, even when the Giants got down early to start this game, you just had the feeling that they were going to pull it together and come away with the victory. But then, because we've been taught that that's just not one of the things that the New York Giants does to prepare to lose this game, a game to a team that you should absolutely beat. They're missing their starting quarterback. They're missing Zach Ertz. We talked about the injuries that they were dealing with on the offensive line. Defensively, they've not been able to do much of anything this year, even though they've made some pushes by player acquisitions to improve their defensive front and their offensive line. They're dealing with injuries, and they just have not been very good. I mean, that's why they were 3-10 coming into the game today. But the Giants did not capitalize on these things, and I'm going to talk about a whole bunch. There was just so much to unpack in this game. But before I get into all of that, I want you guys to please like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. So every time we drop some new content, you're one of the first ones to be notified. So starting this game, the Giants kicked the ball to the Commanders. And the Commanders on their first possession, it really looked like the Giants were at least better prepared defensively for whatever the Commanders were going to do. And we knew going in that they were going to be a heavy run team because they were missing Jaden Daniels. They didn't have Zach Ertz. And they have a pretty good running back room. You know, Kroski Merritt and McNichols. And then I believe the other guy's name is Rodriguez. But he wasn't playing today. But their running back room is pretty good. And the Giants all year have not been able to stop the run. So we knew that was going to be coming. And it looked like to start the game that the Giants had kind of prepared well, and they weren't giving up huge chunk plays on that first drive. In fact, they stiffened up when Washington got into scoring range and limited them to a field goal attempt. And it was just something that felt off about this game the whole time. The Giants have lost to the Commanders. This is now the fourth game in a row, which is very un-Giants-like when it comes to that rivalry between these two teams. But four games in a row is what it is at this point. And I just kept feeling like the Giants were going to do just enough to win this game. But slowly but surely, you know, reality started to set in. And you just knew that they were going to lose this game. You know, the defense eventually started to give up huge yards. I shouldn't even say huge yards, but 5, 6, 7, sometimes 8 yard runs to this Washington Commander offense. And you can't keep giving up plays like that and think you're going to win the game. And that set up the play action. So Marcus Mariota, he didn't have a really good game, but he was pretty efficient. You know, he was 10 for 19, had 211 yards, one TD, took two sacks. He did fumble on one of those sacks, and we'll talk about that. But he played efficient enough. He just needed to manage the offense. And their offense pretty much did what they wanted to do for the most part. I mean, they did have to punt the ball four times. And it's so weird because the Giants' defense, in some respects, looked better than they have in a while. And in others, they just could not stop them on certain third down plays. So it was disappointing. And then they gave up a bunch of second down and long plays that turned them into first down. So they never even got to third down. But when you look at what the Giants were able to do defensively, and I was pretty happy to see Abdul Carter finally showed up, and it was said on the broadcast that he had his best practice all year, and it showed on the field. This guy was the Abdul Carter who we were hoping we were getting when we drafted him. Quick look at his numbers. He had five solo tackles, two assisted. He had a sack, strip, forced fumble, and he even recovered a fumble on, I don't know who, actually that was him tackling, but that wasn't a sack. He even recovered a fumble on another strip tackle, which was pretty cool to see. And at that point, the game, you were starting to feel like there's no chance that the Giants could get back in this game and win it. And he came up with a big play defensively. The Giants were not able to convert on it, but he did show up and play well. You still see a lot of the weaknesses in the Giants' defense. Number one, they can't stop the run. Number two, their coverage skills just break down so quickly. They have such bad technique. Sometimes they get a little bit too handsy and they get a PI call. I do think that that call against Cordell Flott for pass interference was not a good call by the referees. I thought that was a normal play on type of play, but that extended the drive for Mariota and the Commanders at that point. But even starting off the game, the Giants got down early. I think it was 10-0, then it turned into 13-0, and the Giants finally scored on a Tyrone Tracy run, which was really nice to see. By the way, Tyrone Tracy Jr. had a really big game. But I still felt like it was just weird. I felt like they had opportunities. The defense, while they continue to collapse in certain situations, they did get the ball back to the offense. Big problem for this team continues to be special teams. They gave up another touchdown, this time a punt return for a touchdown. With bad coverage and even committed a penalty on that play. So disappointing. Youngway Koo is, and granted, these were longer field goals, 52-yarder and I think a 53-yarder that he missed, but the guy cannot make field goals. And MetLife Stadium is already difficult enough. And if you thought signing a kicker who got cut from a team who played in a dome was going to have better accuracy in MetLife Stadium, you were sorely mistaken, because the guy cannot kick through the field goal, the goalposts. I mean, and they're big yellow with flags on the top to help you to determine wind direction and wind speed. And he's just not a very good kicker. And, you know, honestly, it is what it is. They got him off the scrap heap in the middle of the season. The Giants did a poor job of ensuring they had the right personnel going into the season. And I really hope that no matter who the next coach is that comes in, who the next general manager is that comes in to lead this franchise, that they do the right thing and get an adequate field goal kicker on this team. I thought that Johnston, I believe is his name, the punter that the Giants signed this week, because Jamie Gillen wasn't able to go, was a good signing, because we did need that. Special teams has just been terrible, you know, terrible. But he did a good job of ensuring that he kicked the ball high enough and in the direction enough that it needed to be for our defenders to get there. But again, special teams tackling angles have been bad all year. Failed us once again. The Giants also, like I talked about Younghoe Koo, he missed two field goal attempts. The Giants did move the ball well enough to getting into scoring position a few times, and unfortunately, they fell apart each of those times. Two times through missed field goal opportunities by Younghoe Koo. One time, the Giants had the ball first and goal at the one-yard line as a result of a pass interference call against the Commanders. We get the ball first and goal. Jackson Dart runs the ball. The referees determine that they want to bring him into the blue tent to see whether or not he got a concussion. Didn't look like much on that play to me, but it looks like they really playing him close. So they brought him in. Jameis Winston comes in, and they lose yards on the next two plays. Jackson Dart comes back in on a fourth down, and they are unable to convert when they had the ball at first and goal at the one-yard line. That's a situation where you might have wanted to give Younghoe Koo an opportunity to kick the field goal, but they did not. They tried to go for it, and they did not convert. Washington got the ball, turnover on downs. Another play that stuck out to me, Darius Slayton, he has been wildly inconsistent. He certainly has not lived up to the contract that the Giants signed him to this year. He dropped a big third down. I think it was third down and 8 or something like that. Dart put the ball right where it was supposed to be. Darius Slayton bobbled the ball and did not come up with that completion. I can't understand that. Another play, deep shot down the right side of the field. Jackson Dart puts the ball right where it needs to be after Darius Slayton split two defenders, streaked up the field, got open, wide open. Jackson Dart saw him, put the ball right where it needed to be, and Darius Slayton once again drops a very catchable touchdown pass. This wasn't even one of those 50-50 balls. It wasn't one of those balls where he had a chance to catch it, it hit his fingertips. No, this was a ball that was in his hands, and he didn't even have a defender touching him, and he just dropped the pass. Very frustrating, very irritating by him. What was even more irritating was the Commanders kept losing players throughout this game. There were injuries that they were suffering where they had some players that they needed on the field. Their left tackle was one of them. They also had one of their receivers who went down with an injury during the game. These are players who were necessary in order for the Commanders, who were without Jayden Daniels, who were without Zach Ertz, to move the ball down the field, and they were still able to do it. So when I look at everything that transpired, the missed opportunities, the dropped touchdown passes, the missed field goals, the poor tackling, this team just all around is a bad team. And I really try to look at them through my blue lenses and feel good about what I'm watching and who I'm watching, and get excited about these games. And they've given me no reason to feel like they're going to win any games, even against a team like the Washington Commanders, who came in here with a backup quarterback, with a tight end who hadn't received any receptions all year, who made the game-sealing catch, by the way, 30-plus-yard reception by Marcus Mariota, because Javon Holland is just incapable of covering anybody. It's just disappointing to see this team and what they've evolved into, and maybe that's par. Maybe that's par for a team who's 2-11 going into the week, who has fired their head coach, who has fired their defensive coordinator, who has fired their defensive line coach. Maybe this is what you are supposed to expect. But, you know, as a diehard, lifelong Giants fan, I still see opportunities, and I think that they should take advantage of it. And some people say that they should be tanking anyway. Why are you disappointed about the outcome of this game? It's because I want to see a victory. I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of being on the losing side of the scoreboard, particularly when you look at some of these stats, too. Like, when I look at the stats to this game, the game stats, that is, not even talking about individual player stats, like, the Giants pretty much dominated in every statistical category. They had 22 first downs, which is three above what the Commanders had. Fourth down efficiency, they were 2 for 4. We talked about that a little bit. They had more yards, 384 total yards, 238 passing yards, 146 rushing yards, all of which are better than what the Commanders were able to produce. They had 9 more offensive plays than the Commanders. They had a better completion percentage. They led in the turnover category in the favorable way, the way you want to lead. They had more sacks. They had fewer sack yards. They had fewer penalties for fewer yards. And the Commanders did edge the Giants out in time of possession. That's because they had the ball for the final minute and 33 seconds or whatever it was of the game. Otherwise, they would have led in that category too. So the Giants had opportunities to win this game. But the Giants are their own worst enemy. They can't tackle. They did not get enough pressure on the quarterback today. Anybody can run the ball against the New York Giants. You got no-name receivers catching passes from backup quarterbacks in situations where normally any other team in the league would be able to shut them down and force them to punt the ball. But the Giants just have not been able to play a complete game. My daughter asked me if I saw anything I felt good about during the game. And even though there were some things that you normally could feel good about, I'm just over it at this point. No, there's no moral victories. I want to see a victory. I want to see a win. I want to see the defense be able to play. And I thought about that a little bit. You know, the Giants fired Shane Bowen, obviously, a couple of weeks ago. It was a tall order for Charlie Bullen to come in against the New England Patriots and call a game that would have resulted in a better defensive performance. And he did not, obviously. Today, I thought that, okay, if there were ever a get-right game, or if there's a get-right game this season, this is the first one. Maybe we'll see a better result. But what I've learned from this and watching him and players still being out of position and the technique that they're using, it's just baked in at this point. Like, we're in week 14 and these guys are still making the same missed tackles or out of position in the same ways that they had been for every week that Shane Bowen was here. And part of that is the play calling might be a little bit different, but the defensive scheme and philosophy, it's still the same. So why should I expect anything different from them? The Giants left, 7-7, that's 14, plus 2 missed field goals. They left 20 points, potential points, on the field offensively. So the defense, while they've had their errors, the offense did also. They just weren't clicking. They just seemed disjointed in this game today. Like, the opportunities were right there for the taking. Jackson Dart was not placing the ball where he needed to near the end of the game. Like, why aren't you leading Wandale Robinson? Like, the announcer even said it. Lead him in a direction to bring him by the pylon in the end zone. Lead him in a direction where it's bringing him towards the sideline. And that's where you throw the ball. And those would have been completions. There was nobody to the left side of the field on any one of those attempts. But on the one end zone shot that Dart took, he tried to lead Wandale Robinson towards the goalpost. Why are you leading him towards the goalpost instead of towards the corner of the end zone, which is much more difficult to defend? Again, on 4th and 6 or whatever it was, 4th and 8, the last play that the Giants had the game, why did you throw the ball inside instead of outside towards the sidelines, which would have been a much better place to throw the ball? Wandale would have likely caught the ball and he could have ran out of bounds. It just didn't make sense to me. So this was a total team effort to lose this game. Kafka showed that, oh my God, when he threw the challenge flag on the first drive of the game, I looked at my 10-year-old daughter and said, That's going to be a mistake that's going to cost us. Number one, it just wasn't enough to overturn it. I watched it in real time and thought to myself, I hope he doesn't throw a challenge flag, give him the first down. It didn't look like he got it, but it wasn't enough. I saw it in real time. He throws a challenge flag. Why would you do that? Now you lose a timeout. You lose your challenge, which you may have been able to use at another point in the game. They wouldn't have needed it in this particular game, but why put yourself in a situation where you reduce the number of tools that you have available to you? And that's what he did. So Kafka, in a variety of ways throughout this game and the prior game, has shown me he is not head coach ready for the NFL. I think he will be at some point, but I don't think he is right now. I think Charlie Bullen, no matter what he does, is still Shane Bowen's defense, and they're still going to look like they're going to look. Dexter Lawrence is still a shadow of his former self. Maybe it's scheme, maybe it's philosophy, maybe he's dealing with an injury. I don't know what it is, but he has really been a non-factor more than he has been a contributor to what we used to see as a dominant New York Giants defense. Darius Slayton, way too inconsistent, dropping passes that should have been caught to extend drives, should have been caught to put points on a board. He is so frustrating to me. He has not lived up to the contract that he was just signed to. I don't know why Isaiah Hodgins didn't appear to be a bigger part of the game plan this week, but he just was not. I think he had two catches today, if even that. We did see a Jalin Hyatt sighting today. I don't even know why he was in a uniform, because he didn't contribute in any way. I'd much rather use that roster spot on more players to help out on special teams, or, unless that's where they had him. But he did not play well, and he did not play much at all. I did want to see, Isaiah Hodgins, he was targeted twice, and he had one reception for 4 yards. Don't even understand that. Don't even understand why he was even in a uniform. I will say Tyrone Tracy Jr., he looked really good today. He averaged 4.7 yards a carry. He had a rushing touchdown. He had a receiving touchdown. He looked good. I had no complaints about his play, his effort whatsoever. I do think the offensive line held up pretty well. I was disappointed that John Michael Schmidt got that penalty that what was an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty or something like that, or personal foul penalty. That kicked us in the nuts and took us completely out of a third and manageable position to a third and 20 or whatever it was. And it was so unnecessary. This is the second week in a row that we've seen players lose their cool and their temperament and cost us 15-yard penalties that took us completely out of the position where we could either convert or score a touchdown or a field goal or whatever. A lot of blame to go around in this one. Blame goes to Jackson Dart. There's some blame that can go to the offensive line. There's some blame that can go to tight ends missing blitzes. There's certainly blame that can go towards our wide receivers, particularly Darius Slayton, who has continued to drop passes. I will say that Wandell Robinson, I did not see many things that I can complain about him. He played overall a pretty good game. And the only thing I can think that might be is if he ran those two routes incorrectly that I talked about earlier. But other than that, I thought that he played pretty well. Defensively, same old, same old. You know, Brian Burns gives a lot of effort. Dexter Lawrence has not shown me anywhere near what I need to see. Darius Mulsow did make a couple of plays that I was happy to see. He came back. Abdul Carter looked really good. He was a really bright spot for me today. He had, I think, 3 tackles for losses. He put heavy pressure on Mariota. He had that strip sack against Mariota. He also recovered. I think he knocked the ball out of the running back's hands, and ended up recovering that fumble as well. So he had a really good game tonight. But everybody else was like, eh, like, what are y'all doing? It's almost like, I don't know. You know, we are still the number one pick in next year's draft at this point. Next week, we are hosting the Minnesota Vikings, another team that the Giants should probably beat. And I'm going to do a pre-game show for that one also. But again, this is just my rapid recap of today's game. Very disappointing. The Giants should have beaten this team. My boy TP said the Washington Commanders was ass. Pulse. I don't know what that makes us, because we couldn't beat a team that he described that way. It makes me very, very disappointed as a Giants fan who invests so much of his time, his money, you know, his sanity to this football team. But a lot of blame to go around. Washington Commanders came into MetLife Stadium. They handled their business, even though they were shorthanded. And I didn't think had a chance. They did, and they pretty much did what they wanted to do against the Giants. So Washington 29, Giants 21, that's a show. Thank you again for joining me. Don't forget to like, subscribe, hit that notification bell so every time we drop some new content, you're one of the first ones to be notified. We appreciate you spending some time with us. Go Big Blue.
Famous. Yeah, a lot of girls probably crying from my old high school. Look, they see me everywhere they go, I probably would too. Look, crossed over to the Jordan man like I'm Michael. Yeah, eating blessings so much I might need lipo. Yeah, tailored for the duds like I'm walking in Chucks. Yeah, it's just in this plan, man, I see all y'all shook. Look, knew that I was great ever since I was a rook. Man, all y'all singles making me look good. Okay, praise to the Most High, yeah, that's Jesus. Look, but when it come to this rap thing, I can't lose. Yeah, back to back number ones, that's a thing greats do. Yeah, tell them boys that ain't nothing I can't do. It's my year. It's my year.